Let's talk about the word of the Lord a little bit. Let's read from the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The first verse, again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but in his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sins and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committed iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall live, surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committed iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal, O ye house of Israel. I will judge you, every one, after his way. Now, I might comment just a little bit on this. This morning, this was something that we were speaking of. That is, where there is what we call predestination. Glad to see Brother Al here tonight. What we call predestination. You know, we get, as I said this morning, that once saved, always saved. And we get a misunderstanding of it. We get a misconcept of it. And I'm not going to try to go through that tonight. I explained that this morning. But see, it is evident that the Lord says, if you do righteous, and I say to you, that is God says to you, you're going to live because you're doing righteous. God said, remember that the strength of what I said is only prolonged in your behalf as to the continuation of your righteousness. If there is no continuation of your righteousness, then the statement I made is void as to you continuing to live, because the principles of it was as to your righteousness. Said likewise in your iniquity, if I say unto you that because of your wickedness and your iniquity you shall surely die, He said, then this statement is prolonged according to your transgression. If you therefore turn from your transgression, then I will receive you, and the saying is void. For ye shall not die, because it was according to the transitional changes of your life. This is why I said today, God says that we are predestinated in Christ. As long as you are in Christ, so is the word of God as to your benefit and your security. But if you be not in Christ, then it is void. And it is made of none effect, because it is predestination in Christ. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, God said, Moses, get out of the way and I'll destroy them. And I'll raise a nation up just of you. All right, now, the word of the Lord can't be changed. Too late, Moses. No need to say anything. God has spoken. And the word of God can't be changed, can't be altered. It's settled in heaven. But see, Moses said, nay, Lord. Nay, Lord, don't do that. God said, Abraham, it has to be destroyed. But Abraham said, nay, Lord, it's not like you to do that. See, Moses, being instead of Christ, standing in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled as to a typical thing. Moses, being a type of Christ, said, nay, Lord. See, Jesus, when we were condemned to die, had the sentence of death within us, then the Lord Jesus said, nay, Father, nay. Not them, but me. Now, he could not say nay, as I said, when he took away the sins of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. He could not say nay, except there had to be an atonement. There had to be something to take her place. Nay, Father, I am the Lamb. I will take her place. So then Moses said, nay, Lord, nay, Father, don't destroy the people. Said, what will the heathen say? Won't they say that this God of Israel tricked them? This God of Israel deceived them? This God of Israel took their attention, took them out into the wilderness, and then literally slayed them. Said you would reproach your own name if you do that. Nay, Lord, he said, just blot my name out. If you're going to blot a name out, blot my name out. And the Lord said, I'll punish the wicked. I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. Folks, let me tell you something. You believe me. If nobody else believes me, you believe me. God will not acquit the wicked. I don't care how much you fasted, how many meals you missed. I don't care if you prayed for a solid year. When you turn and do evil, when you turn and do wickedly, when you leave off with God and the righteousness of God in your sins, you're going to die. God is going to punish you. You're cut off from God the minute that you do it. It's not a day, it's not a month, it's not a year. The very day that you turn away from God, you're cut off. And the very day that the wicked turns away from his sins to God, he is accepted. Don't ever think God will let you by. Don't you ever get in this charismatic move that they got of today, to where you manipulate a little bit here and a little bit there, and you think you can kind of freewheel through life, and the men can have a lot of lip to the ladies, and always messing around the women, and gotta always talk to them, and gotta always be with them. Don't you ever think that God will let you get away with that. And you women likewise, that you gotta be a preacher, and you got to be this, and because you're Miss First Lady, you can just go on all day long running your mouth, as we say, and talk to men and do anything that you want to. God won't let you get by with that. And the same way with gossip and backbiting and fault finding. God will not let you get away with that. The same way when you refuse to support the weak and refuse to support the poor or to support the gospel. The very day that you purpose in your heart to quit and stop, God cuts you off. So then it is a true fact that the only hope that you've got is to continue to do the thing that is right. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if I'm trusting in the righteousness of God, and this thing is according to what you told me of the righteousness of God, then God wouldn't cut me off if I failed. God will cut you off because the only time that you are continuing in the righteousness of God is when you're doing your best to be righteous. And when you quit trying to be righteous, it means that you've left off with your faith in His righteousness. And therefore you have no righteousness. That's why the Bible tells us that God purifies the heart by faith, and that as long as we do righteously, then we are righteous. For the Bible said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as God is righteous. He that doeth wickedly is devilish wicked, even as Satan is wicked. And so then, when we don't do anything, we don't have any faith. Our faith causes our works to be made manifest. And what you believe, that's what you do. When you stop trying to be righteous, it means you don't believe in righteousness. And when you do everything to be sacred and holy and godly and pure to conform to God's word, then it is positive that you are believing in righteousness, because that's what you're trying to practice. So then he says here, to do right is to live. And he told the people, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't have any pleasure in it. It is not pleasing to me, God said, to slay the wicked. Why would I want to kill the wicked? That's not pleasing to me, for me to kill the wicked. I don't have any pleasure in that. Why should I want to kill a man? Why should I want to kill a woman? And yet I will kill, he said. There is a time to kill. I will kill, God said. I will kill your children with death, he said in the book of Revelation. I'm the one that kills. I'm the one that makes alive. I'm the one that gives life. And I'm the one that takes life. And Job said, blessed is the name of the Lord, for he giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? He said, will not I slay the wicked? Will not I slay the wicked, he said? That is, if they do wickedly. Won't I slay them? Won't I pursue them till they perish from off of the face of the earth? Saying, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You think I'm altogether like you. You think you can go through your charismatic ritualistics, all your formalities of counting beads and whatever you do, through your formality of your 5 or 10 minute prayer, and coming to church to love the salutation in the marketplaces, to be called a men rabbi. You think that I'm like you, he said, because I've left the blood on the seat of atonement, and I give you a day of grace to repent, and I've let it be of a long standing, and I've let it go, and I've not bothered you. Said, and because of this, because I'm long suffering, you think that I'm altogether such a one as you are. Said, but you're going to get the shock of your life. One of these days I'm going to meet you face to face, and I'm going to judge you by the very word that the preacher preached to you. I'm going to judge you by that word and all of the manipulation you've done, all of those things that you thought you got by with, and all of these other things that I told you wasn't my word. He said, I'm going to face you in there, and I'm going to be so angry that I'm going to be like a bear that you've taken her cubs out of, away from her, or out of her paws. I'm going to be so angry, he said, when I see you and realize that you caused people to die and go to hell, even the little ones. You strangled the life out of them, you're a bunch of murderers. With your words, you killed them. With your actions, you deceived them and misled them and led them to the slaughter. Will not I visit for these things, saith the Lord? Someday I'll meet you because you've robbed me of the cubs, he said. So then, God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Not too long ago, I took this subject. I have no pleasure in death. I have no pleasure in death. This is the thing that we've got to realize, that if God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, it's for sure that he doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the righteous. If God so loves the world that he spilt his blood and he died for the transgression of mankind, that man might continue to live, if God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, friend, it's for sure that the death of the saints is precious in his sight, as the Bible says. So then we can just stop right here by saying, God hath no pleasure in death. God doesn't have any pleasure in death. This is why that we don't need to die. Why should you die, O Israel, he says. Does God have any pleasure when Israel dies? Does God have any pleasure if the Americans die? Does God have any pleasure if the Russians die? Is God respect a person? Because they're communism and we're capitalism, God could care less for that kind of thing. Judaism or whatever. What God wants is God's word. He's the great king. He's the king of kings. Maybe they do have a king in America called Mr. Reagan. Here we call it a president, that Washington changed it in the New World. Maybe we do have a queen over England. Maybe we do have a ruler in Russia, a king or whatever it is. God said, that's all right. As long as they do right, pray for the king. He said, pray for them that God will bless them and God will strengthen them. They can have the strength to be able to go forth and do the things in life that will benefit the people. Pray for them, he said. Honor the king. But when it comes to God, God said, I am the king of kings. I'm the Lord of lords. Russia, if you want to continue to go on, if you want to continue to exist, then you'd better take a bow to me. America, you'd better take a bow to me. India, China, Germany, Africa, I'm God. Besides me, there is no other God. He said, if you want to continue with your kingdom, if you want to continue with the things that you're doing, you better take a bow to me. Think what it would be like if in the days of Pharaoh and in the days of Herod, rather than rising up against the Christ child, if Herod or Pharaoh had went out there and said, Moses, where is this God that you speak of? I want to go worship him. Herod did say that, but he lied. He wanted to kill the child, and he proved it by his evil doings. But what if he took the outlook, I'm going to worship the child. Show me where the child is. And then went over there and took his crown and throwed it down at the feet and said, I pay tribute to the great and mighty God of heaven and of earth. I pay tribute to the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Don't you know that Christ would have never moved him from his throne? You say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, why is it the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart? David was a king in this world. And yet God said that he would take the son of David and make no end to his kingdom. Because David loved the Lord. Though David made mistakes, hideous mistakes. Mistakes that I wouldn't even want to think of, let alone make. And yet, because he repented, because he cried, because he called on God, because he didn't have the Holy Spirit in that day to guide him as we have in this day, then God was merciful and God showed him mercy and God helped him. Not in the way that some of these wild evangelists of today look at it, as to say God was a, or David was a great man of God, and because he was a whoremonger, I can be a whoremonger too. And because God loved him, God loved me too. He had a half a dozen wives, as we say, and I'll have a half a dozen myself. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wanted him to have me, he wants me to have him. I'll tell you what, you'll find some great significance in the things that happened back there. And you'll find that the Son of God wasn't in those things back there. You'll find that Christ was in the garden. You'll find that Moses, the prophet like unto, had one wife. And you'll find that the same Christ did not condone that, but when he came, he made it very clear as to a man and his wife being one. Told what they were to do. And even Paul forbid them to be in the ministry. And yet the Bible said David was a prophet. So then, You must remember one thing, that David paid bitterly for his wrong. The death of his children, the sorrow and the heartaches, his wives ravished before his very eyes, driven out into a wilderness like an animal, hardly spent any time in the kingdom, always in battle, his enemies stirred up against him, always fighting. Why? Because of his hideous crimes, his sins. So then, I want to be as Christ. I want the heart of Christ. I want the heart as David, but I want it as Christ would have me to have it. So then, not to be wicked, for God will destroy the wicked. Whether it's David or whoever it is, they have to pay for their crimes. There is no special people with God. You've got to get a hold of that, folks. There is no special people. Brother Pike is no more special with God than Brother Terrell. And Brother Terrell no more than Brother Roberts. And Brother Roberts no more than Brother Branham. And Brother Branham no more than Billy Graham. God is no respecter person. God was no respecter person with Paul the Apostle. With Peter. When Peter sinned, God rebuked him to his face. God is holy. God is just. God is good. God expects Brother Pike to walk upright. God expects Brother Pike to be clean. Not only in my words, not only where you can see me, but God expects me to be clean in my thoughts, in my impulses, in my reflex. God wants my very reflex of my body to be clean and holy. And folks, when you got thoughts on your mind that's unlike Jesus, when you do not enter into his sanctuary with thanksgiving and praise, when you do not meditate in his laws day and night, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. When you have the wrong thoughts going through your mind, you're in trouble. When you have the wrong thoughts, when you have the wrong reflex, when you have the wrong feelings, when you have the wrong impulses, God expects you to shun the very appearance of evil in your very mind and your thoughts. When you meet as male and female, when you negotiate anything in your business to be straight, when you're talking with the opposite sex, whether it's in the presence of your companion or out of the presence of your companion, or whether you don't have a companion, God expects you to be perfect in his sight. He said, Abraham, be perfect in my sight. Walk perfect before me. So then God expects nothing less of us than he does of Abraham. God said for you to go on to perfection. He said, don't turn again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and dead faith toward God. He said, I want you to be perfect. I want you to go on to be perfect. I don't want you to be half-hearted. I want you to be perfect, God said, and cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus. I must be perfect. You must be perfect, because we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. So then God said, I have no pleasure in death. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. Why should you die? I don't want you to die. Then how does God feel toward me? And you know, this can be real helpful to some of you if you'll just listen real good. Can be real helpful to some of you concerning healing. What is God's concept of me? How does God feel about me? When I bring this down to an individual basis, of course, that's what I have to do to be healed. How can God look at it? How does God look at it? See, it's not a matter of how can God look at it or does God look at it. God looks at it according to his word. The thing is, how do you look at it? How is it that you have strong delusions? How is it that Satan causes your thoughts to be besetting? How is it that you think one thing toward God when the word says another thing toward God? See, this is where you lose your healing. It isn't that God is slight concerning his promises, but where the problem is, you are slight believing God's promises. You're slight. You let thoughts talk to your mind. God said, I would above all things that you prosper. Why not accept it in your mind without any controversy whatsoever? And say, God said it, I believe it, that's the way it is. God said, I want you to prosper, I'm going to prosper. Hallelujah, I'm looking forward, wide open arms is coming.
The devil said, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm for it, amen. Glory to God, that's what we want tonight. Pile it on, he says. Pour it in. I'm one of them prosperity folks. I believe in Jesus, he said. That's about as far as it gets right there, unless you get on healing. But this is for the righteous, not for the wicked. You see, people that are charismatic, hallelujah, glory to God, praise him, folks. Everybody, let's praise Jesus, let's sing. They don't have any right at all to do that. They're clear out of order. I know the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. To that extent, God allows it. But see, even the whole time that they're doing it, just like the prayer is abomination in the sight of God, that is of the wicked, so is their praise. For the Bible said, praise is comely for the upright. If they're not upright, God doesn't hear their praise. Just like he doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. So then, God, how does God feel toward me? Just one way. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Not war. Not problems. Not storms. Not all of these things that Lucifer causes. Peace on earth. How is it then that you and I can feel when a tornado comes or some bad thing happens or sickness or death? How then can we feel that God was the one to blame for it? How can we do that? You say, but Brother Pine, you said, can evil come to a city? And I'm not sent it, saith the Lord. God sent it, but he sent it the same way that he did in the days of Job when the devil appeared before him. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And God made allowance because there was wickedness in Job's family. And God had to get that thing straightened out. It is true that it comes diseases, poverty, all of these problems come. That's true. But God sent it only in the sense that God allowed for it to happen. For when tornadoes are whirling around and cyclones are coming in, did God kill those people? God said, I have no pleasure in death. I didn't send the cyclone to tear up things. If God did send it, why is it that Jesus stood on the little boat and rebuked it? You know, somebody said to me the other day, said, I tell you, when them tornadoes come and that lightning starts, God wants you to fear that. I said, no, no, God don't want you to fear that. I said, but that's the work of God. I said, well, yeah, you know, you know. If that is the Father doing that, then why did Jesus stand up and rebuke the troubled waves and the raging waves? Why did he rebuke the weather and the winds? Why did he do that? Didn't he say, Father, I come into this world to do your pleasure. I come to do your will. Wouldn't he have just stepped off of the boat, stepped out on the waves of the sea, and say, glory to God, tear it to pieces, Father? Wouldn't he have done that? Now see, you've got to remember that Jesus was God, the fullness of God. That was God in a contest with Lucifer. And when Lucifer would have drowned the body of the Lord Jesus right there, not killing God. God is a spirit, but cutting God off in the earth, as we would say. As to the fact that Jesus was to be a human being as an example to us. So then, every way he tried to kill Jesus. That was what happened to Jonah. That was Jesus on board. Jonah on board. He tried to kill him. A lot could be said about that in Revelation. Give us a sign, they said. He said, there won't be any sign except that of Jonah. Don't you understand, Jonah? So then there is no sign to the wicked, he said. Said, what about the sign of your coming? You won't see good when it cometh. And so then Jesus stood up, God, in contest with Lucifer. And he commanded the waves and the winds. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves, they do obey this man. He's got control over them. Somebody said, well, that was because he was God. Sure, he was God. He was God. That's what confounded the people. That's what confounded the Jews. One minute he would be speaking to them as a man. And they said, tell us plainly. He said, well, I can't do nothing. It's the Father in me. If he don't do it, I can't do it. Then he'd turn around and boldly would say, unless you believe I'm he, you'd die in your sins. And they were just tore all to pieces. They were confounded. They couldn't fit it all together. He just tore them all up. Why was that? Because he was God in his spirit. But he had made himself as man in his flesh. And they were all tore up. See, so then we say he was God. God, he was man when he was sleeping. God when he rebuked the weather. Saying that he was God, no wonder Brother Pike could do that. What kind of man is that? But folks, we overlook the fact that a man by the name of Joshua stood and told the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. We overlook the fact that a man like Moses commanded the waters to separate. Could it not have been said of them, what manner of man is this, they said. It was God. It was God. Somebody would say, well, I will dispute that, Brother Pike. Said Moses, I made you God to the people. Then when they started to stone Jesus, said, you being a man, you make yourself God. Isn't that wonderful that a man can make himself God? Said, follow me and I'll make you. To as many as believe, you're able to make yourself God. Said, you make yourself God. Said, we'll stone you for that. It's blasphemy. You being a man, make yourself God. Moses, we'll stone you to death. You tell me that you're God? Well, that's what the Lord said. Jesus said, is it not written in the scripture that I call Moses God or call them God? Said, if I call them God unto whom the word came, why do you get so upset with me because I say that I'm the Son of God? So again I say, have not I called ye gods? Is it not written that ye're gods? If it is said that they that are under the law was gods to the extent that the word of the Lord came unto them, and the Bible said they that are under the law are less than anything that's in the body of Christ, can then it be said that we are gods? In that we are gods? Can it be said then that we are gods? Jesus said, ye are gods. Said, I die like a man, though I be God. Ye die like men, so that you can feel the infirmities from the lack of knowledge. But one day I'll supply you. One day I'll furbish the house. One day I'll bring the knowledge. And then death will be over. Death will be no more. Death won't be here anymore. One day God, he said, would speak to us. It won't be man speaking to us anymore. Said, but they shall all be taught of God as it is written. So then, one day, God will bring it to pass. I have no pleasure in death. I will prove to you that I have no pleasure in death. What kind of attitude does God have toward us? One attitude, the word, peace on earth. Goodwill. Peace be still, Jesus said to the waves. I don't want these boys troubled. He that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. All of the paths of God are peace. I would above all things that ye prosper. Not only would I that ye prosper, he said, but I would that ye be in health. What is God's attitude toward me as an individual? Brother Pike, you're my son. I want you to be in health. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're not good enough to be God's son. I'm not good enough to be God's son, but Jesus is good enough that he made me God's son. So then I'm strong in the power of his might. I stand in the righteousness of God. Having been made my sin, I'm therefore made his righteousness. So then, what is his attitude toward me one time and forever? Once and for all, Calvary, peace on earth and goodwill toward Brother Pike. Find the path of peace, Brother Pike. Walk in the path of peace. Behold that man, and the end of him shall be peace. Let not your heart be troubled. They that keep their minds on me, they'll have a perfect, unbroken peace. Won't be any interruptions. So then he said, I would that you be healed. I would that you have health, he said. Prosper and be in health, he said. I want you to be in hell. So then I say, what is God's attitude toward me? He wants me to prosper. Why should I then be in poverty? If God wants me to prosper, if God be for me, who can be against me? God said he would give me the desires of my heart. What is the desires of my heart? The fulfillment of his word in my life. What is his word to my life? the promises of eternal security and the promises of my natural benefits in this world, that God will watch over me. I would that ye prosper. That's the desire of my heart, to do what he would, I would. So then, what am I going to do? I'm going to prosper. Somebody said, well, you might not be doing the right thing, Brother Pye. But the Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. It don't make any difference if I'm a painter, if I'm a carpenter, if I lay linoleum, it don't matter what I am. Preacher, I'm going to prosper. I mean, that settles it. It's unaltered. It's unchanged. That settles it. That's my benefit. That's to my record. Why should I trouble myself? Why should I question the Word of God? Why should I think any kind of thoughts except those thoughts? Why should I lean to my own understanding? As to say, well, maybe that isn't right, and interrupt my blessings. I'm not going to do that. So then Paul said, I won't frustrate the grace of God. Whatever he said, that's the way it is, Peter. And then God said, I would above all things that you be in health. He wants me to be healthy. Am I been healthy? If anything else comes, it's a lying vanity. It's those shadows I spoke about today. Jesus said, Satan, get behind me. That is, I'm looking straight at the light. If I'm looking at the light, then you're a shadow. You belong behind me. Now, if you was going away from the light, as I preached on a sermon here one time, then the shadow would be in front of you. It would block you. He said, but by Calvary, you have no right to be in front of humanity. Thou art an offense unto me. Get behind me. So then, I say it again. Help. Am I then healthy? Anything that would be contrary to health is a lying vanity. Should I then trouble my health? Should I then trouble my blessings? Should I then question God? God said it. I believe it. It doesn't matter what happens to me. God wants me healthy. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if you have pain and you have misery and all of these things come upon you, how could God want you healthy? Because it's not God's will for those things to come upon you. It's not God's desire for those things to come upon you. What is God's desire? His will. What is His will? His word. What does His word say? I'd rather you'd be healthy, Brother Taylor. I'd rather you'd be healthy, Brother Gary. My desire, Brother Scott, is for you to be healthy. Somebody said, well, why in the name of reasoning have I got all these problems? Because you fellowship the devil too much. You go out on the devil's territory. You talk to the devil. You think on the devil. You listen to the devil. What is God's attitude toward me? His word. Amen. His word. What is His word? I would that you be in health, he said. I would that you be in health. Somebody says, yeah, I know that, Brother Pike, but there ain't no buts about it. God said I would that it be that way. And it's settled in heaven without change or alteration. It ain't got nothing to do with it, what I think. It ain't got nothing to do with it, whatever you think. God said, I want you in health. God wants you in health. Amen. God said, I don't have any pleasure in death. I don't have any pleasure in death, God said. Why will you die, O house of Israel? I don't have any pleasure in death. When you lay down to die, God says, do you think I get joy out of that? You've got a little boy, you've got a little girl, they're in the casket, or they're laying on the bed dying. Do you get any pleasure out of that, God said? Why is it that you think yourself to be that way and me to be so horrible? Don't I have children? Haven't I said unto you that you're my son? Do I have any pleasure in death? Do you think I want your little children to die? Am I not the giver? Didn't I give to you? Haven't I given you a little child? Don't I give life in abundance? Am I not the Prince of Life? Didn't I come that you might have life? And that filled up and overflowing in abundance? A darling little baby, didn't I give that to you? Doesn't the Bible say that children are inherited from God? Why then would I want to take your little child? Why? The woman said to the prophet, thou hast deceived me. My little one is gone. I tried to honor you. Now my little one is gone. And he said, if it be so, God's hid it from me. Said, my little one is gone. So he ran hurriedly over. Was then it God that had taken the child? If it was, why did the prophet contest God to bring the life back? See, death is the enemy of God. And the prophet hurried over as if to say, death, thou art the enemy of God. Turn that child loose. God hath no pleasure in death. Turn the little one loose. And so he turned him loose. See, God came on the scene. God turned the child loose. I am the spirit of life. I am the one that come to give life. But he said, the thief is a robber. He's a killer. He came to kill. He came to destroy. He came to take away. He came to steal your baby, steal your life, steal your health, steal your sanity, steal your finance, steal the days that you have to serve God, steal them away from you. And so then God said, I don't have any pleasure in death. Why then should I interrupt my life as to bring it to death at an early age? The Bible said that the wicked shall not live their days half out because they'll shorten their days by their disobedience. But said if you would live a long time or have long life and have good days while you're having that long life, said then refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't go after the evils of the world, he said. If you want long life, walk after me, follow me, do the things I say, conform to life. Let your ways conform to life, Jesus said. For I bring you laws to protect life, laws of virtue, to protect your health. So then, what happens when these things come about? I would above all things achieve, be in health and prosper. But what does it hinge on? Just as the door turns upon hinges, there is something this must hinge on. And that is, he said, even as thy soul prospereth, so shall ye enjoy these things. Even as your soul prospereth, Jesus said, so comes your prosperity from your soul prosperity. And so comes your health from your soul prosperity. Even as thy soul prospereth, he said, so I will that ye be in health and that ye prosper. Have all good things. John said, I love to see my children prosper and be blessed with health. That is God's desire. Jesus died. So then what is God's outlook toward you and I? That is God's outlook one time and for all. Never alteration, never change. So now let's look at the other side of it. See, folks, it's not God in his shortcoming. It is not God altering his word. It's not God changing his mind. But then see, though this be the way God looks at us, what is it as to the way we look at God? How do we behold God? How do we think of God? Who is God? Somebody says, the Word. The Word. How do I look at the Word? What do I think about the Word? In the beginning was God, the Word. That Word came and blessed me with health. That Word came and brought me prosperity. The Word is my health. The Word is my prosperity. The Word is my eternal life. The Word is what frees me from evil spirits. He cast out the unclean spirits with his Word. The dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Oh, great is thy faith, woman, he said. For this saying, go thy way, he said. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Just for this saying. For the saying alone. In that she believed. You say, how do you know that she believed? Jesus said, get away, woman, get away. Not in those words. But he said, this is the children's bread. Go your way, woman, go your way. Nay, Lord, I'm going to have something if it's just the crumbs. I have a right to something. And Jesus just loved that. That's what he wanted her to do anyway. And another thing that caused the healing to come, the main thing, was that the fact that she would not leave positively proved that she believed that he had the answer to her problem. Come on now. See, that was a great display of faith. Nay, Lord, she said, I'm staying. Jesus just as if to say, that's the proof of your believing. You know I've got the goods right there. So you know that I've got it. You won't turn away and leave because you're waiting for me to give you that word of promise. You believe, woman, that's good enough. Go your way. That took care of it. So, I say again, how do we look at it? We look at God. God looks at us with a steadfast, unwavering, unwavering, unchangeable look. We look at God with a wishy-washy, wavering, unstable look. We look at His promise, His Word, God. And though the Word says all of these things that we proclaim, we're wishy-washy, we're unstable, we're full of doubt. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. So then we look at it like this. God, I know you said it. God, I believe it. God, I know you want me to have it. God, I think I better go to the doctor. That's in our minds. That's our thought. We're going to try this, God. But Lord, if it don't work, I'll have to do something. You know that, God. And this is the way we look at it. This is the way we look at it. See, we don't see. Jesus fed the multitudes. And then the disciples said, my, how are we going to feed all these people? Jesus said, how can you ask me that? I just fed 5,000 people with a little basket over here. Said, don't you understand, folks? Can't you imagine that? He looked at him, he said, don't you remember the 5,000 people that I fed? Oh yeah, they said, we remember that. He said, don't you understand? Don't you remember you didn't have but a basket? Oh yeah, we remember that. But what we're talking about is we got to feed these people. We don't know where we're going to get the food. Jesus said, hey. You know, he was just utterly amazed. He marveled at their unbelief. He couldn't understand why they couldn't understand what he was saying. That is from a human standpoint. So then how do we look at the Word? Do we look at the Word with steadfastness? Do we say, God, you said it, I believe it. I ain't going to have it no other way. God said it, that's the way it is. Do we take that outlook toward it? No, we don't do that. See, we're wishy-washy, we're wavery, we're unstable. So then, do we get anything of God? Nope. Passes by, goes on down to someone else. So then, folks, where the problem is we are not looking at the Word of God with full confidence. The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God said, Abraham, you and Sarah are going to have a little one. I'm going to give you a little one. Sarah said, ha ha ha. You know, the man at the gate said, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, this time tomorrow, whatever, there shall be a great revival. There shall be a great fervishing. Yeah, he said, I know all of that. I know that. I've heard that before. Said, if the Lord made windows in heaven, then this thing might be. The prophet said there's one thing about it. He didn't call him a hypocrite. He could have. He said, you doubter, said it's coming, but you're not going to get any of it. And sure enough, here it come. And the prophet said, and God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't be able to receive. So he opened the windows of heaven. So then, Abraham, I'm going to give you a little one. Abraham says, glory to God. Brother Taylor, did you hear what God said? That's the way you know. He didn't say that to Brother Taylor. But he said that to the folks that was around when he got around to tell them. Have you heard what God said? Do you know what God said? Have you heard about the Word of God? Let me tell you about the Word of promise. Said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Sarah, did you hear what God said? We're going to have a little one. Ha, 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 she says. Abraham, ha, 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 nothing. You'll see it, Sarah. You just wait. God said it. It's going to be just like he said. You know the mockers. You know they got to get in there too soon. And the angel said, Sarah said, now why did you do? Oh, I didn't do that. Ain't that just like? I didn't do that. And the preacher said, well, why did you do that, brother? Well, I didn't do that. They just told that on me over there. That's what it was. They don't like me anyhow. I think I'll leave. Don't need to be on this campground no way. Always somebody saying something about me. That's because you're always doing something so somebody knows something too. So then Abraham, he gave glory to God. The Bible said he was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was also able to perform. He said, God, you said it, you can do it. I'm just looking forward to the day. I know that it's going to be just exactly like you said. Going around saying, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. What are we going to name him, sir? Isn't that faith? My, Abraham, he had that, you know, faith is a substance of things hoped for. He was hoping for that. He never had one like that, you know. Then he could just, you know, I
wouldn't be a bit surprised, you know, if you could read history somewhere where you went around like this saying, sir,
I ain't kidding. You know, he said, come on, Sarah. Because he was overjoyed. I mean, he had that baby. Did you know that? Abraham already had that baby right there. That baby was in his arms just as much as when it came. There wasn't a bitter difference in Abraham's conviction when that baby came as to when God said the word. See, faith is the baby. Faith is the substance. I'm hoping for the baby. That's the substance I'm hoping for. Glory to God, faith is my baby. You understand what I'm saying? I've got my baby.
So then God said, Abraham, thou art my friend, Abraham. Thou art my friend. You believe what I say. And this makes me all powerful in the earth through you, Abraham. For everyone that believeth, to them I give them power to become sons of God, to command the sun, to master the earth. I'm looking for a human body to walk in. And then came Jesus. Then came the church, the body of Christ.
So then, what is the attitude? It's your attitude toward God. That's what God's after. What is your attitude toward God's word? Is it like Abraham? Is your attitude like Abraham? Do we have the same conviction of Abraham? Are we fully persuaded that what God promised he's able to perform? How many of us that hear this message right now, how many of us sincerely believe that what God said he will do, that his word is the same to 1,000 generations, unaltered, unchanged? It's settled in heaven. It can't be altered. The only way we miss it is that we fail to believe it or be fully persuaded in it. Do we have the same outlook that Abraham had? Can we say, yea, Lord, thou hast spoken, and it is exactly like you said? And the songwriter wrote, and it happened just like he said. He healed the blind, the crippled, and he raised the dead. For it happened just like he said. Just like he said. Do you believe that you pass from death unto life? Do you really believe that? Is that some kind of myth? Is that something you hear the preacher talk about? Or folks, do you believe that? Do you believe that? I must say, glory to God, I believe that, Brother Pike. You believe what? You believe that, glory to God, that you believe? Like Brother Robert said, when you believe that you believe, that you do believe, that you believe that you believe, he said, then that's faith. If I can come to the faith, that is to the place that I believe, that I do believe, that I believe. That I do believe, that I believe, then I believe. That is to say, do you really believe? Have you had an experience with God? Have you really had a genuine experience with God? Do you believe? Oh yes, somebody says, I believe, Brother Pike. Do you believe? I believe, somebody says, do you believe? Show me your faith by what you're doing. Let's have a little counsel. Let's have a little talk. There's a whole lot of things I need to be done, and I've asked somebody to do them. God said, Noah, do you believe? Maybe not in those words.
But do you believe Noah? If you do, get your nails and get your hammer.
That is, we say that in our modern way. Let's start sowing, son. Because if you believe, you'd better get a boat because it's going to rain, Noah. Glory to God, it's going to rain, Noah said to the people. It's going to rain. He didn't question it at all. He said, it's going to rain. When that prophet come out of the desert back there and said to that son of the prophet, God said to the prophet, thus saith the Lord, God said, go anoint Jehu king. Say, thus saith the Lord. So he went away, took God's word. He went to that son of the prophet, said, go say, thus saith the Lord. That son of the prophet, he didn't question nothing. He went over just like he was that great prophet. Said, thus saith the Lord. That's the way it ought to be, folks. There ought not be any grapevine. There ought not be any interchanges. There ought not be any scramble up thing. Whatever God said, don't add to it or take it away or take away from it. Just go say, thus saith the Lord. If God said it, that's good enough. If the word of God said, prosper, be in health, have no pleasure in death, I pass from death unto life, whatever, just go say it the way God said it. Don't alter it, don't change it, don't question it. Don't listen to anybody that wants to question it. So then I say, where does that put the church tonight? What are we tonight? Who are we tonight? How am I looking at God's word tonight? Wavering? No. Unstable? No. Double-minded? No. What do you believe, Brother Pike? God said it. I believe it. Yeah, and amen. That settled it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm hurting. What's that got to do with God's word? Somebody said, but I'm dying, Brother Pike. What's that got to do with God's word? Somebody said, but she died, Brother Pike. What's that got to do with God's word? Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? When somebody said, I'm hurting, Jesus said, that's the end of it, and that was it. When somebody was crippled, Jesus said, that's the end of it, that was it. They said, leave the master alone, said, she's dead. Said, what's that got to do with it? Said, come on. Went over and said, maiden, get up from there. See, what has circumstances? What has our environment? What is the definition of science, falsely so called, got to do with it? What if he has got a doctor's degree? What has that got to do with it? I said, well, if I don't believe him, I'll die. I feel like you will for sure. No doubt about it. I say amen to it. You're going to die for sure. Your confidence is in him and you're leaning on the arm of flesh. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help or leans upon the arm of flesh. So it's for sure that that's what's going to happen to you. Asa smitten in the feet. He went after the physicians and sought the physicians rather than God and he died. There would have been nothing wrong with him going to the physicians if he'd have first went to God and said, God, what's wrong? What have I done? God, forgive me. God, help me. Let me make adjustments. You know, like I tell somebody sometimes, I tell my children this. I said, you know, I don't care how good I feel that I am. I don't care how well I feel. I don't care if I feel right that I'm living perfect before God. When something starts happening, I check my way of life. I check up. When the very least thing happens, I check up. The Bible said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. And the Bible teaches, in the day of adversity, consider. I start considering my ways, wondering why the devil, who is my enemy, is not at peace with me. And I start trying to find out why I'm not prospering. Why I'm not in health. Why is it that I'm on the verge of dying? And you know what I always come up with? I find out that my soul prosperity ain't right. I find out that my soul prosperity is not right. So then, God, how do you look at me? I look at you as peace on earth, goodwill toward man. I want you to prosper and be in health, he said. They said, son, how do you look at me? Oh my, how do I look at you, God? Now, son, how do you look at me?
Oh, Father, let me look at you like this. You said it, I believe it. All of your promises is yea and amen. They cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. They're settled in heaven. They are under 1,000 generations. Yesterday, today, and forever. Or we say tomorrow. You're the same, Jesus, without respect of person. Russia, Germany, America, black, white, red, yellow, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, whatever it might be, God said, I'm the same towards you. If you're wicked, repent of your sins. I'll give you life. The same Jesus said yesterday, today, and forever. So then, can we believe that we're going to live forever because God hath no pleasure in death? And in that if God is for us, nobody can be against us. That we're just going to keep on living because he don't have any pleasure in death. And since we're God's elect, can't nobody else do nothing. I mean, who's stronger than God? Somebody said death. The Bible said love is strong as death. Faith works by love. Faith translated Enoch that he should not see death. He just walked right over death. So then, it depends on how you look at God. It depends on how you look at the Word. If you're sick, if you need healing, if you need something for your body, then accept it. You say, I'm afflicted, Brother Pike. The Bible said, mourn if you're afflicted. Mourn if you are afflicted. Mourn to God, and God will move that affliction. Mourn, cry. The Bible said in Jesus' lifetime he was heard because he offered up supplication with strong crying. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. He said, I'm afflicted, Brother Pike. He said, mourn. Mourn. This is why I teach that you should live a good, holy, godly, overcoming life. That when an emergency strikes, your faith will come to the front. Because all of a sudden you'll say, God, I've done the very best I can. Lord, I know I'm a failure, but I've done my best. And your faith comes right straight out just like that. And it stops the devil. But you play around on God, you cut the corners, and then let an emergency happen and see if your faith comes up. See if your condemnation don't put your faith down and you're not able to use it. And the devil take advantage of you, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then to check up, to pray, to seek God, to build your faith, to build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Build it up, folks. What is your attitude toward God? Do you need healing? Do you need healing? You got a promise of healing. Remember these one or two things. There's many things that can put your faith down. From lack of knowledge, you'll perish at the hand of Lucifer. One thing is, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I living in the right place for the Pike to be healed? Now I want you to listen. As long as you let the devil use that on you, you're never going to get healed. Because there's never lived a man that was good enough. We're justified by his righteousness. Therefore, if the question arises, am I good enough for the things of God? No. Of my own righteousness? No. Am I good enough for the things of God? Let's settle it like this. The Bible said, by his stripes you were healed, which puts it in the past. It's already at Calvary, at a day where he heard the groaning of the prisoners, he succored us. In that hour, God secured us, looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, sickness, suffering, poverty. So then, should the question arise in my mind, am I good enough? How can I do that when it's already settled at Calvary? Not a matter of whether I'm good enough or whether I think I'm good enough or whatever. That's just Satan warring with my mind to hinder my faith. It's already decided. He decided through Christ I was good enough. So he gave me my healing already. So it's a matter of me receiving it. Then where does my goodness come in? You don't have any goodness. Only in the sense that the more that you do the right thing, try to live the right thing, the more clear your conscience is,
the more confidence you're going to have. We do the things that please Him. This is the confidence we have in Him, that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, it's not a matter of righteousness. That's settled at Calvary. We know that we have the petition we desire of Him by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, even the finished works of Calvary. What must we do to work the works of God? He said, I'm the works of God, finished by foreknowledge and the foundation of the world. Predetermined before I came. So then, it's not a matter of how good I can be as to being eligible. I'm good through Him. I'm part of Him. All that He has is mine. All things that pertain unto life, I'm complete in Him. He hath given me all things. So then that's settled. I'm good enough. I got it coming. It belongs to me. Then does God want me to have it? Somebody said, Master, if thou wouldest, thou couldest make me whole. Jesus said, I will that ye be made whole. Why should I then question Jesus? I must look at Jesus individually after this fashion. He went about doing good, healing all. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is God's attitude toward me? God was Jesus, and Jesus is God. And God is the same. God says, I went about doing good, healing all, healing Tommy, healing Brother Gary, healing Scotty, healing Frank. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is there anybody else that would like to be healed? I'm healing all. My attitude toward you is good, Jesus said. I want all of you to be in health. I want to heal all of you. That's the way I am. That's the way I was when I was here. That's the way I am forever. Let whosoever will come. I'm in the healing business, He said. I want you to be healed now. Not day after tomorrow, right now. Oh, somebody said, if I could just believe that. Don't you see how strong the devil is in your life? That you think, my, that sounds so good if I could just believe that. Why in the world will you let some little old devil stand out there and hold your faith and keep your faith from God? Shake that thing loose like Paul did the serpent, put it in the fire. And say, my God, Jesus said it. I don't care what I think or how I feel. Glory to God, He said it. That's the way it is, folks. Whew, that makes me feel better. You feel the old yoke broken and the bondage gone. See, are you good enough? It's not a matter of being good enough. All you do with your efforts is encourage your conviction in His righteousness. See, so the more you do toward Him, the greater your confidence is that He will befriend you in the sense that you're drawing nigh to Him and He's drawing nigh to you. See, it's not God. He's already shed abroad rain on the just and the unjust. But you got to get a conviction. You got to do some kind of work because your believing is just made in such a way. That thing just won't work unless you get a little stimulation behind it. But John said, if you do the things that please Him, hereby you persuade your heart. He said, it's desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So He said, do a little something there and you'll persuade that heart that what God said is true, that He does love you, that He does want to help you. And said, if you persuade your heart to believe that, said, you ain't got to worry about the rest. You've already got the petition. It's already given to you. It's just a matter, as the angel said to Daniel, I had to break through. Daniel had to do a little fasting to give him strength so he could break through. The angel said, I'm trying to get there, Daniel, but that old carnal resistance of Lucifer, come on, meet me halfway. Meet me halfway. Do something, Daniel. I'm trying my best to get to you, Jesus said. Folks, do something. I'm knocking at the door. Open the door. Do something. Give Him a chance. And I'll tell you what. Let's stand together. If you'll do that, you'll have a more wholesome and healthy life like you've never had in all of your years. Have you believed what I said? Remember, we want a full reward. And the Bible said be strong in faith. God wants us to be strong in faith. Strong in faith. What will we do if our faith is strong? You know, they said, Lord, increase our faith. That wasn't the proper thing to say. Jesus said to them, increase your faith. He could have said, if you had any faith, you'd be doing miracles, even as a grain of mustard seed. How am I going to increase something you don't even have?
Jesus said to them, said, let me say it to you like this, said, where is your faith?
So then they should have said, Lord, that is if they had any faith. And God has dealt unto every man a measure of faith. Sometimes we cover it up with the rubbish and can't find it. Jesus said, where is it at? See, they should have said, Father, strengthen our faith. Abraham was strong in faith. Maybe you do believe, but maybe you're not strong in faith. You might be a believer, but not have the Spirit of God. And your strength is through the Spirit of God. You need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Strengthen your faith. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. And what will we do if we are strong in faith? What will we do? The Bible said giving glory unto God. Giving glory unto God. When you're strong in faith, you know what you're going to be doing? Somebody said, sick, can't hardly go, just about gone. Got pains in my head and my neck, and I know all of that because I have it from here all the way down, again and again and again. But it said, let the afflicted mourn. God delivereth them out of all of his afflictions. Many are his afflictions. I'll get him out of all of them. Call on me. Gave the parable of the little widow to the wicked judge. Said, if that judge avenged that little widow, said, how much quicker would I avenge my elect that cry to me day and night? So then, let's be strong in faith. You say, Brother Pike, what is it when you're so weak you can't hardly go? When you're so weak you can't hardly go, if you can get to a bed, lay down. And as quick as you get strong to where you can, don't go to the soup pot. Don't go to the hamburger joint. Don't go to visit with your relatives and then get so weak you can't go again. Take that little time and worship God and praise God and glorify God. Do something for God. It's all right to eat, drink, and be merry. Especially if you're planning to die tomorrow. But see, what God wants you to do is be strong in faith. Don't testify the giants. Don't testify the affliction. So somebody says, you know, as you would say, Brother Taylor, I'm healed myself. I'm overcoming. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. I ain't letting them say nothing about me. I believe in this good old way. Somebody that really believes in God, they may have pains. They may have problems. And Paul said fightings and fears and problems. On the outside, there's war. But down in my heart, there's something saying, hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus said it. I believe it. Got to be like that because the Savior said it's like that. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, don't you feel good? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said it. I believe it. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe it. Jesus said it. Hallelujah. Don't you feel better? So then, Abraham was strong in faith. He had himself a time. He was strong in faith. You know, if you believe something, and I am going to close right along here. If you believe something, you know, somebody says, God, give me a new car. I remember Bill one day, I was talking to Bill. I said, Bill said, I sure would like to have a certain car, Brother Pike. I said, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it. I said, praise God, Bill, go on and get it. God gave it to you. And Bill, he said, you know, he said, I forget how he said it, but said something about, I'm going to try to get that car. So I'm going to see if I can get it. I said, what do you mean, Bill? What did you say? Oh, he said, I'm going to get my car. I said, now that's right. So Bill went and got his car. And
Brother Clyde, I told Brother Clyde, I said, God wants you to have another car. He let me know it, Brother Clyde. I told numbers of people this about cars and different things. I said, go and get it. It's yours. See, and this is the way it is, folks. Strong in faith. Strong in faith. When you have this feeling that I believe God, that God's give it to me, and in your mind you say, but now if it don't happen, you don't have faith. Say, Lord, I know you'll give it to me, God. I know you'll do it. I believe it, God. I believe it. If it don't, I'll you don't have faith. You don't have faith. See, you know what faith is? Faith is something that don't doubt. Is that right or wrong? Faith is something that don't doubt. Jesus said, just believe, don't doubt. See, they're two different things. Faith is something that don't doubt. Brother Garrett comes to me, he says, Brother Pike, I want a loaf of bread. I'm running a store. I say, sure, Gary, give me your money. I'll give you the bread. So Gary's got faith. He gives me the money and he holds out his hand for the bread. He don't stand there and think, boy, if you take my money, I'll get you. I'll guarantee you that. Now, he don't do that, does he? Down to 7-Eleven, you don't do that. You don't stand there with a gun on that lady down there saying, I got my eyes on you. I'll take my 50 cents. You're going to give me my bread. Now, do you do that? Well, why do you do God like that? You know, why do you feel by God like that? That is to say, I know you said it, God, but why do you do that? See, it's supposed to be, I know you said it, God, I love you. It's so wonderful to serve a God like you. Yeah, and amen. You say, but I just can't do that. Well, if it is something in my brain, there's something in my body, there's something in there. And what it is, it's the devil making war against you. See, the infiltration, that old carnal mind. That's why you need to fast, you need to pray, you need to live for God, need to convince your heart, need to put that old argument down. Get that old argument down. Get that old thing out of the way. Be dead to the flesh. Stay away from ball games and television and all the things of the world. It won't be doing that. Abstain from fleshly lust that wars against your faith. And then you'll come back singing, I've got the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your believing. All you got to do is get that believing going. You got it, folks. I'm telling you, that's the truth. That's the truth. Let's sing this little chorus. Have faith in God. Sing it with me now. Oh, have faith in God. Just have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Just have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Can you sing it one more time with me? Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Just have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Let's sing it one more time and think of it.
as you sing, do you really have faith in God? Jesus said, don't doubt. Have faith in God. He said, I tell you what. He said, I tell you what. If you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, he said, don't doubt in your heart. He said, folks, you can have anything that you say. I want you to stop and think on that a minute. Think of your day. Think of your age. Think of the days that slipped by. And think of what you've missed. And say, oh my God, I'll die. I'll be in the grave before I get a chance to use this great thing. I've got to hurry. My God, to be able to say what I want and have faith and do what I want and be a son of God and a daughter of God with all that power. So simple. God, I got to get down to business. I got to get started now. I can't wait, God. Somebody said, well, I know it, Brother Pike, but I played it myself. I played it. Wish I had a lesson. Why don't you get out of that? Why don't you get away from that? Why don't you get away from that foolishness? And think, my God, I'm still listening. I'm still in the land of the living. I'm still here. God said if at any time the wicked turned away from their wrong and turned back to God, I'd hear them. I'd heal their lands. I'd forgive them. Doesn't matter about the other. You didn't go back out there and try to murder somebody. You didn't go back to try to be in the world. Satan overpowered you. Satan tricked you. Satan caused you to make a mistake. Not listening. Shake that thing off. Get back in the saddle, as we say. Shake that thing off. Get back in there with God and say, Lord, I can't help what kind of mistake I made. You're on my side. I'm a son of God. The devil ain't gonna do this to me. Lord, I repent. I'll straighten up. I'll restore that pledge. I'll give back that I've taken. I'll do right. I might not be able to go to every man and do what I need to do, but I'll do everything I can to get to every man that I've... If I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it. And God, I'll give it all back in the sense I'll serve you and I'll work for you like I never have before in all my life. God, you just heal. You just raise me up, God. You just help me, God. I'll show you what I'll do. Folks, and get in there and be in business. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Let's sing that chorus. We're going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made. Sing it with me now. Let us enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter God's courts with praise. Let us say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made. My Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Sing it one more time. Going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter God's corksmith frame. We're going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands up with me. You know, I stay glad, folks, in my heart. Jesus keeps me glad. That's right. Jesus keeps me singing because he knows how. Keeps me singing because he knows how. I love the Lord Jesus. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I'm well. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, the devil don't fight you like he does me. Well, I don't know so much about that. I do know one thing. But it doesn't matter how he fights me. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he does. This is my victory, even Christ. I've got the victory. This is my victory, even faith in the Lord Jesus. Folks, let me exhort you to have faith. We're living in a day and in an age where only the believer will survive this world. You'll never get out of this world alive unless you can believe. You need your faith now. You need your faith. This is a crushing day. An overwhelming day. When you're wrestling against principalities, powers, evil. This is a wicked day, folks. You need your faith now. The Bible says, don't cast away thy faith, but have great recompense of reward. I think of Brother Al Gonzalez. He's still going. He's supposed not to be going, but he's still going. The Bible said, having done all to stand, just go on anyway. Say, God, I've done all I can to stand. I can't stand anymore. And glory to God, I'm going to stand anyway. I'll be strong in the power of Christ as might. I think of Tommy. He's got real problems right now, but he's believing God. He's going on anyway. He's standing anyway. Going to believe God anyway. All of it's a lie and vanity anyway. God will make it pass away. As a preacher preached in Chicago one time, it came to pass. So let it pass. Hallelujah. All lie and vanities. Let's believe his mind. Let's think his thoughts. Let's believe his word. Why think the devil's mind and thoughts? That old first birth is interwoven with Satan. Don't lean to your own understanding. You say, I hurt. Say, I'm healed. Instead of saying, oh my God, I'm hurting, I'm hurting. Say, hallelujah, I'm healed, I'm healed. Somebody said, oh, I'm sick, I'm sick. Say, glory to God, I'm well, I'm well. How many understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, I'm hungry, ain't got nothing to eat, Brother Pike. Say, glory to God, I've got manna to eat that you don't know nothing about. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his paycheck, his riches, his glory. Folks, it'll change your world. It'll change your living. Somebody said, well, I just can't think a lie myself. Everything you think is a lie unless it's the word of God. It's a lie and vanity. Anything that's contrary to the word of God is a lie. If you want to think the truth, you better think what he said. What did he say? I've given you all things that pertain unto life. What pertains unto life? Food, clothing, eating, drinking, wife, children, health, happiness, safety, security here and abroad. Let's think his thoughts. As you think in your heart, that's what you'll be. It'll come to pass that that's what you'll be. If you think you're a failure,
then you're a failure. If you think through Christ you're successful, you'll automatically be successful, folks. No way to change it. You've got to think in your heart, not your head. Not a brainstorm. All right, while you've got your hands lifted up, I'm going to ask Brother Gary Floyd to come up here and dismiss us in a word of prayer. While Gary is coming, I want you to ponder. Stop and think. You know, just stop and think. While Gary's praying with us tonight, just stop and think. Say, Lord, I know how you think about me. From now on, I'm not going to question that anymore. From now on, I'm just going to try to figure out how I think about you. And I'm going to get my thinking straight. Glad to have Marie here with us tonight. She was in a hospital a few days ago in a dying condition. They was fixing to cut the throat so that they could get breath to her. It's the last thing they do, usually the last resort when a person's dying. But we went into our room and prayed. And God immediately answered. I said, Betty, God immediately answered. And tonight she's here, and they didn't have to cut her throat. All of a sudden it changed, and tonight she's here. God's good to us. Folks, don't get out and sin. The devil will kill you. The devil will kill you.